Now, does it seem a bit disconcerting to have just heard a Holy Week gospel reading in late November? We might be tempted to ask if we have somehow slept through Christmas, but I can assure you that we have not. And what might sound even crazier is that I can honestly say to you right now, Happy New Year. Sounds like I have my seasons mixed up, but really, this is the last Sunday of the Christian year, traditionally recognized as the Feast of Christ the King. Next week is Advent, the start of a new Christian year. But this week, we conclude the old ecclesiastical year with the proclamation of the kingship of Christ. Historically, this tradition goes back to 1925, when Mussolini and Hitler were growing stronger and stronger. The world was watching, waiting for answers, and listening to these powerful men competing for the limelight. So Pope Pius XI felt that it was time to call on Christian people everywhere to declare their allegiance to the rule of Christ. So let us journey back from those dark days of 1925 to another dark time some 1900 years earlier, where the Roman province of Judea was also heading towards war. And once again, there were various voices competing for attention. Military leaders, politicians, and charismatic figures that would arise from the rank and file of the subjugated local population, promising to throw off the yoke of Roman oppression. Pontius Pilate was the character with the unenviable job of keeping the province of Judea in line. And he was a ruthless overlord. It has been written that Pilate was by nature rigid and stubbornly harsh, an exceedingly wrathful man, with his career being marked by bribes, acts of violence, outrages, cases of spiteful treatment, constant murders without trials, and ceaseless and most grievous brutality. And then there were the Jews, who from start to finish were seeking to use Pilate for their purpose. They could not kill Jesus themselves, so they were determined to use Pilate to that end. They did not hesitate to twist their charges against Jesus. They well knew that Pilate would not proceed with a charge of blasphemy, so they accused Jesus of claiming to be a king, although they knew that their accusation was a lie. Pilate then had no other choice, and the trial began. Now, my first experience with courtroom drama and trials came pretty innocuously when I was a little girl watching, to some of you, the very ancient TV series Perry Mason, starring Raymond Burr. I loved watching the prosecuting attorney going against the defense attorney and vice versa, seeing the give and take of their arguments. But when I was a bit older and read in TV Guide that the person guilty of whatever crime had been committed always appeared on the witness stand 5 minutes before the episode's conclusion, I was quite disappointed. And the next time I watched, I saw that sure enough it was true. It then became too predictable for me. But as we see in today's gospel reading, the give and take of the conversation during this so-called trial of Jesus standing before Pilate is anything but predictable. Here, the aforementioned stubbornly harsh Pilate is portrayed as a weak and vacillating man, torn between his external fears and his inner doubts. He is also a cynic. "So you are a king," he asks Jesus sarcastically as he threatens him from his position of power. Pilate had tried to send away the pesky Jews, but they kept persisting that he prosecute Jesus. So in this dialogue, masterfully told by John, we see an encounter between the leading local power merchant of the government, on the one hand, and the apparently powerless figure of Jesus on the other. And yet, as the story progresses, we realize that it is Jesus who is in control, whereas Pilate seems to be quite powerless. He wants to release Jesus, but can't. His job is to administer justice, but he is too scared to do what he knows is right. And so he moves back and forth between Jesus and his accusers, eventually washing his hands of the situation in a desperate attempt to excuse himself from responsibility. Here we have two contrasting types of power. Pilate, whose power resides in the army that stands behind him, and Jesus, whose power comes from the fact that he tells the truth. This is indeed Jesus' response when Pilate asks him whether he is a king. "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Truth itself is on trial, and Jesus is the star witness. In the end, Pilate attempts to crucify the truth. He places a placard nearby, mockingly announcing Jesus as the King of the Jews. The irony is thick, because Pilate has unwittingly announced the truth. When we think of Christ as king, we don't end up with the definition of nobility that we might have been expecting. Instead, we end up with a king who, bloody and beaten, hangs from a cross, publicly tortured, for speaking truth to power and not backing down from that truth. Instead, we end up with a king who shines brighter than the sun with truth and justice, a light for all nations, which the darkness cannot overcome. Instead, we end up with a king, the Word made flesh, who says to you, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Times are tough today, just as they've been tough for generations before us. But God did not abandon generations before us, and God won't abandon us either. And today, we remember that God's kingdom isn't just pie in the sky for tomorrow, but a present reality we can live in right now, even in the midst of tough times. And so Jesus calls us again today to live in the light of God's reign right now, by staying connected to God and to one another, and by courageously showing our faith in God's presence and promise by the way we live and speak and serve. Amen.